In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. As always, it's great to be with you. And we like to start off our conversation always by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is known as Mary's the Mother of God. Mary's the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. When we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we also call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So in this month of May, which is a month dedicated to Mary and Mother's Day, let us lift up our minds, our hearts, our souls to Mary. And ask her to pray with us and to pray for us as we strive to get to know and love God more and more each day. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. And it's the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual guide to be with us. Not only is Mary with us, but we also have our spiritual guide to accompany us. That spiritual guide is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. Like Mary, the Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. In the sequence that we pray on Pentecost, he's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is our Consoler. As well as our Counselor. And the Holy Spirit is our interior master. He who will teach us how to pray. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans reminds us with these words. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. We can say Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect, in the fire of divine love to be ignited within our hearts. As we pray, come Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise. Never rejoice in His consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Well, guys, angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to our Perseverance family, the family that prays together, stays together. How true that we're united by the bond of prayer and the bond of Mary and the bond of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I'd like to continue on that, encouraging you with these words that I'll be praying for you in my Mass. Thanks be to God, today I have two Masses, one at St. Peter Chanel, another one at Baldwin Park this evening. I'm giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles, speaking about the Holy Spirit. So in these Masses, I will be praying for all of you and for your intentions. And by far, the most sublime and great prayer we have in the world is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The greatest of all prayers. So I'd like to place you on the altar and your intentions. My first intention will be that we will all be more open and docile to the Holy Spirit. We'll be more open and docile to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because our sanctification depends on large measure upon our being open and docile to the Holy Spirit. I taught you that prayer, short prayer, come Holy Spirit, come, through the heart of Mary. Pray that often. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families. Especially I'd like to pray for your children and your teenagers. That in this tempestuous world in which we live, the world at large, our country, our city, our town, we're going through a lot of conflict. Therefore, the gospel today in which Jesus wishes us his peace will be a good part of our conversation this morning. Jesus wishes his apostles peace. In the language of Jesus, the word would be shalom. Peace. Peace be with you. So I'd like to pray in a special way that all of you would be take seriously your education of your children. There's nothing more important in the world than to bring your children to heaven. That's the greatest of all gifts, to bring our family, our children, to heaven. So I'd like to place you and your family, your children, on the altar when they celebrate Mass. Let's also pray for world peace. And as Father Patrick Peyton reminds us, a world at prayer is a world at peace. And let's keep praying with faith and fervor and confidence that the Roe vs. Wade decision will be abolished. That we would pursue not only peace, but we would pursue the defense of life, meaning from the very moment of conception until natural death, life is very, very sacred. Let's do all within our power to defend human life. As I said, from the moment of conception until natural death, human life is sacred. Human life is sacred. So, before moving on to our readings for the day, I'd like to make a short comment of experience I had yesterday. Yesterday I was able to do a baptism in the evening. A young family that I know very well, that I married the couple about 10 years ago, a little bit less, and they have three little children now. Two boys, and God gave them a little girl. So I baptized the little child. The child's name was Mary Faustina. Mary Faustina. The child was only 6 days old. On May 12th, our founder was born. He was baptized on the same day he was born. So I invite all of you to take seriously your spiritual life, your family life, the salvation of your children. And never to put off the baptism of your children or your grandchildren or your godchildren. Never to put it off for senseless, unintelligent, worldly reasons. Sad to say, at times we place the social over the sacramental. We place the material over the spiritual. We place the visible over the invisible. We place the sensual over the mystical. We place the temporal above the eternal. We place the party and the eating and the drinking above the bread of life in the eternal banquet. Remember, my friends, the purpose of our life. We are here in this world, my friends, to get to heaven. Never forget that. So last night when I was baptizing this little child, I said, Mary Faustine, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Not only was original sin washed clean, but also that little child experienced a radical transformation in the depths of her soul. And that means three divine persons began to live in the very depths of her soul in the moment of that baptism. That little girl is a daughter of God the Father. That little girl is a little sister to Jesus Christ, her older brother. That little girl now has a deep, intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. That little girl is a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity. My friends, sometimes we have to renew our catechism and call to mind the many graces that God has given to us, starting with the sacrament of baptism, which is the gateway, the door to the other sacraments. What you might do is celebrate in your family two birthdays. The actual natural birthday of your children, but to celebrate the spiritual birthday of each and every one of your children. And that is the day of the baptism. Very few people know the day of their baptism. I would suggest the day of the baptism of every one of your children to celebrate. First go to Mass. Receive communion. Start with God. Then have cake. Maybe have cake and ice cream. Celebrating your spiritual birth. Do you know the day that you were baptized? I'll tell you mine. I was baptized on March 25th, which happens to be, providentially, the day of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What a grace, what a blessing, what a privilege my parents had me baptized on March 25th. March 25th, which happened to be the Annunciation, where Mary says yes to God, she conceives Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. What an honor for me that I can celebrate every year Mary's Annunciation with my spiritual birthday. So check it out. Check it out. When were you baptized? When were your children baptized? The way it used to be is in the family Bible, the mothers would write down the birthday of their children, but also the baptism, first communion, and confirmation. It's a good tradition we should maybe rediscover. All right, so I thought I would just share that with you. Yesterday, I was on Relevant Radio, as I mentioned to you. We talked about the angels. Very, very good conversation. You can actually go to Relevant Radio Shows on Demand, Inner Life, and you can listen to the conversation that I had yesterday on the existence of angels. So, my friends, let's move into the Word of God. I'd like to comment briefly on the first reading. And the first reading actually happens to be the first reading we had in Mass on Sunday. And I'll just summarize it, pull out an idea or two for you. But there's an added verse that was not in the first reading on Sunday. It starts off with the crowds. Rather, St. Paul was dragged out of the city. He was stoned because he's preaching the Word of God. His disciples surrounded Paul, and they thought that maybe he died. But he gets up, brushes himself off, and goes back into the city. What a courageous man he was. You think that after you were stoned, you'd probably flee, you'd probably try to get some treatment, get some psychological treatment, get someone to help your wounds. Paul didn't worry about that. He just wanted to move on in preaching the Word of God. So he goes to various places and he arrives once again in Antioch, where there are a lot of followers. Then I'd like to just comment on what he does in Antioch. Now here he is. He's bruised in many parts of his body because these stones that they launched at him. So he and Barnabas goes to Antioch and it says they strengthen the spirits of the disciples. That's a very important verse. They strengthen the spirits of the disciples. Let us try, my friends, to try to strengthen each other. We live in a world with a lot of negativism. With a world just imbued with negativism. Let us try to be men and women of great joy and peace and hope. Let's infuse this joy, this peace, and hope in our world, wherever God sends us. When St. Paul encourages them, exhorts them to persevere in faith. And it doesn't lie to them. He says that we have to go through a lot of hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So, not to be surprised, my friends, when we are visited by trials, tribulations, setbacks. Not to be surprised. This is part and parcel of our following of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then it says that they appoint presbyters for them in each church. Now that word presbyter means this. Priest. Let's pray, my friends, for more vocations to the priesthood. Indeed, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Pray for priests. You probably know among the oblates that a few months ago we had three young men that were ordained deacons. Leland, Nate, as well as Jonas, three young men ordained as deacons. They will be ordained as priests. Then they'll be sent to communities where we as oblates have houses. We have to pray. Pray very fervently that we ourselves would support priests, pray for priests, encourage priests. Because, my friends, you are at, in a certain sense, you are at the mercy of your priests. Pray for priests. So, that's what Paul does. They're ordaining priests and placing priests in the different communities, so that they would have the word preached and be able to receive the sacraments. So then Paul and Barnabas arrive at Antioch and they report to the community at Antioch how God had opened up the door to the Gentiles. And Paul and Barnabas spent a long time in this community trying to form them well. My friends, let us work on our own permanent formation. One of the purposes of my conversation with you is it's biblical, but also it's catechetical, in which we have to go deeper into the knowledge of our faith, and then to become missionaries. And of course, we cannot give what we don't have. If we don't know our faith, then we won't be able to share our faith with others. I think it was about 100 years ago, there's a book written by Dôme Chotard, a Frenchman. Dôme Chotard. And the name of the book was The Soul of the Apostolate. You might even write that down. the soul of the apostolate. One of the key and salient elements of this book that I'd like to convey to you right now is the following. Dom Chotard and the soul of the apostolate says that sometimes in the apostolic work, certain individuals do more harm than good. Why? Because they don't really live their faith. They don't really know their faith, and they don't live their faith. If we're trying to transmit a faith that we don't have clear in our mind, and we're not living it, then that's going to be a bad example. And that will actually draw people away from the faith. So we have to study our faith, know our faith, love our faith, preach our faith, and try to live our faith. And here we have it, of course, in Paul and Barnabas. They knew their faith. They were the real deal. They walked the walk and talked the talk. They were authentic. So those are my ideas I'd like to lay in your heart, taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. Psalm 145, the responsorial psalm, the antiphon is somewhat long, but it is this. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. I'd like to talk about one of those words, your friends. Jesus at the Last Supper said to his apostles, I call you friends. Not simply servants, because a servant does not know what the master is about. I call you friends, so that you bring forth fruit and fruit in abundance. My friends, in our Perseverance family, we are striving to grow in our friendship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's true. We are striving to grow in our friendship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, one of the key elements of establishing a friendship, in cultivating a friendship, in arriving at a dynamic friendship with anyone, is we simply want to spend time with our friend. That's right. We simply want to spend some time with our friend. Apply that to Christ. If we love Christ, we want Him to be our best friend, then we have to spend time with Christ. And how do we spend time with Christ? By making our daily holy hour. Holy hour, which we also call the hour of power. So my friends, I give you this talk, then you go to my website, you can see the points that I give for meditation, which Mary Martirana formats every day. So you have abundant material. My talk with you, and then you have the points for meditation you can get electronically, and then you can actually print it out. So we try to make it easy for you. All right, let's move on then to the gospel. We have been reading from the Gospel of St. John. Just that you're aware of it, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17. those five chapters in the Gospel of St. John are all in the same place. Jesus is at the Last Supper with the apostles, where he washes their feet, he institutes the Eucharist as well as the priesthood. He calls the apostles his friends. And he gives this long discourse. It's called the Last Supper Discourse. So that's what we've been going through the past few days in the Gospel reading. So I'd like to go into the Gospel today and pull out especially one word, one idea that Jesus is laying in our hearts and develop that. And it's this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." So let's talk about that. Jesus is greeting them. My friends, it's important that we recognize the importance of greetings. Greetings. Words of greetings. In American English, we might say, "Hello, good morning, good afternoon." In Spanish, "Buenos dias." In Italian, "Buongiorno." In French, "Bonjour." In German, "Guten Morgen." That would be the German way of greeting. In Austria, they say, "Grüß Gott." These are words or ways in which different languages, different cultures greet each other. But for the Jewish people, for the Hebrews, they had the word shalom. Shalom. And shalom, what that means is peace be with you. So Jesus greets them with shalom, peace be with you. Now, it's interesting, this whole concept of the greeting of Jesus and greeting in general. Season's greetings, we say. It's important. A warm, kind greeting can be of immense value. Whereas a cold greeting or the lack of a greeting can be almost devastating. Now, what would happen if you're walking towards someone you know, and the person doesn't even greet you? That's very painful. It cuts to the heart. It cuts to the heart. They don't even greet you. Or you're walking down the street and the person He goes on the other side of the street and ignores that he sees you. It's painful. Maybe we've done that in the past. Maybe we've done that in the past. Or, let's develop this theme. When you're walking towards someone that you know, here's a key question. Do you wait to be greeted by that person first and then greet the person back? Or do you take the initiative to greet the person first? I'll repeat the question. You're walking towards someone that you know. Do you take the initiative to greet the person first? Or do you wait for the person to greet you? In a certain sense, by taking the initiative to greet the person, you're actually practicing various virtues. One is humility. You're putting that person first. Charity, which is willing the good of another. And kindness and warmth, especially if that greeting is accompanied with a smile. True. Examine your conscience on that. Examine your conscience on that. What I often like to do is during the coronavirus pandemic, it was not possible really, but now that the pandemic is winding down, after the Mass on Sunday, I usually try to go outside the door and to greet the people. And they like it. Greet the people. Sometimes bless the child. Often there's someone who wants me to bless their rosary. It's a moment of great joy. It's a moment of great joy. Greeting. Greeting another person. A good, warm, kind greeting with a smile can pull a person from desolation into consolation. And the way in which the Jews would do it would be saying the word shalom, or shalom, which means peace be with you. Few ideas of biblical references to this word peace. Upon the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the choir of angels sang out, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to men of goodwill." Now let me mention another very important one. The first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. The first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. The archangel comes and greets Mary. The Hail Mary is also known as the angelic salutation or the angelic greeting. The angel greets Mary. I was listening to a talk this morning in which one of the messages was what you can do often is to greet the guardian angel of the person that you're going to talk with. That's very helpful. Greet the guardian angel, the person you're going to be speaking with. Especially it might be a difficult encounter. Invite your guardian angels to be present. Yesterday in Relevant Radio, I talked about the angels. So the first joyful mystery is the Archangel Gabriel greets Mary. Hail, full of grace. So every time we say the Hail Mary, we're really greeting Mary with the words the Archangel used to greet Mary 2,000 years ago. Mary is filled with joy every time we say Hail Mary. So every Hail Mary, we're greeting Mary. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Mary is filled with joy when we say the Hail Mary and we finish the prayer and we finish the rosary. But what about the second joyful mystery? Is there a greeting present in that? You betcha, there is. So Mary, being aware of her cousin Elizabeth with child, Mary goes in haste to make a beautiful, wonderful surprise visit. A wonderful surprise visit to visit her cousin Elizabeth. What is the first thing we have upon the encounter of Mary and Saint Elizabeth? Mary greets. Mary greets Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth. And the greeting is so profound that you have a communication of the Holy Spirit. Mary probably said to Elizabeth, Shalom, then embraced her, and Elizabeth responds to Mary, saying, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Upon hearing your greeting, the babe leapt within my womb. Blessed are you for your firm belief that the words of the Lord would be accomplished in you. Then Mary opens up her mouth, her heart, and she says, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. But it all began, my friends, with the greeting. Then the birth of Jesus, the angels sing, Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men and women of goodwill. So greeting. Last thing I'd like to say is this. Trying to apply this to our own lives. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus would welcome Jesus to their home in Bethany. And of course, they would greet Jesus and his disciples when they entered into the home in Bethany. Here's a question for you now, for our examination of conscience. Our family should be a sanctuary of love, a communion and community of love, of sharing between the members in our family. Here's a question for you, because many of you are mothers, some of you are grandparents. When your children, they come home from school, do you give them a warm welcome? Do you give them a warm welcome? When your husband comes back home from a hard day's work, do you welcome him? Give him a hug and give him a kiss. I think that's a good question. Maybe ask yourselves. You know, be blunt. I'll be blunt with all of us today. One of the many reasons why you have so many cholos and gang members in the cities. One of the reasons why is that these cholos or gang members, maybe they really never felt warmly welcomed into their homes. How true. They never really experienced a warm welcome into their homes. They arrived home and no one there to greet them. Let me say now, it can't be done in all cases, but I believe one of the many blessings that I received as a child and as a teenager was that when my parents got married, my father wanted my mother to stay home because they had children right away. Within less than 2 years, they already had two children, my older brother and myself, back to back. So my father made a concerted effort to work hard to make enough money so that he could support the family, and the reason being so that mom could stay at home. And one of the things she would do is when we came home, she would welcome us home. We'd have a snack prepared. Then we could go out and play. But the warm welcome of a kind and loving mother means a lot. Means a lot. So maybe we're lacking a little bit in that area. Maybe we have to work on that. Mary and Martha welcomed Jesus into their homes. What type of welcome do we give our children, our teenagers, our spouses? It's sometimes called the virtue of hospitality. When my father retired, he passed away 5 years ago, he and my mother would often be practicing hospitality, welcoming guests into their home, sometimes priests, sometimes even a bishop, sometimes the president of a college. They'd be welcoming people into their home, starting with their own children. So I really believe this whole idea of the Shalom Welcoming Committee is very important. Not only should we form a Barney group, but we should be forming maybe a Shalom Committee, a Shalom group. Shalom, by the way, if you're tuning in now, means peace be with you. Now, let's develop the theme a little bit more. We see Jesus greeting the apostle today with, "Peace I leave you, Shalom." Let's move now from our families, let's move now into the church itself. The church itself. What I'm doing today is I'm trying to get us all to examine our conscience on how do we live out this shalom, this greeting of others. When we enter into the Catholic Church, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings in the Catholic Church is, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And we have what is called His real presence. That's right, His real presence in every Catholic Church. Where is this? In the tabernacle. Sometimes in our church, from 1 to 6 o'clock, we actually have Him in the monstrance on the altar so people can come and to worship the Eucharistic Lord. When you come into the church, do you greet Jesus? What is your greeting like? What is your greeting like? For us as Catholics, the greeting that we display toward the Eucharistic Lord should be a greeting which we call this greeting the genuflection. We call it the genuflection. Which, with your right knee, you go all the way down to the ground. You touch your right knee all the way to the ground. That's right. Now, this was a gesture that was common, my friends, during the monarchies, during the Middle Ages, when someone would go in front of a king called His Majesty. And you would make a genuflection. If not, you would be in danger for lack of respect toward that king. Now we come in front of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings of the whole universe. Hopefully we pay Him homage and respect. The Magi actually prostrated themselves to the ground. They offered Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's develop this theme a little bit more. So you make a good genuflection, you kneel down, and you greet the Lord present in the tabernacle. Now what about how do you greet and receive our Lord when you go to Mass? Do you participate fully, actively, and consciously in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? Now what about this? When you receive Holy Communion, when you receive Holy Communion, which is by far the most important action or gesture we can do in our whole life, when we receive Holy Communion, the most important action and gesture in our whole life, what type of greeting do you give to the Lord? When you receive our Lord in Holy Communion, in His body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion, do you give to the Lord a warm welcoming? Do you do that? We may have to work on that. We may have to work on improving our own shalom, our own greeting to the Lord, when He comes into the very depths of our homes, into our hearts. Then do you welcome Christ in the poor and the suffering? Because Jesus said this, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me. When, Lord? When, Lord? When? Whenever you did it to the least of my brothers, then you did it to me. Enter into the home of my Father. So talking about greetings and welcoming. If we practice this warm greeting of Jesus in this life, in the way we greet and treat others in this life, if that's done with great frequency, with great humility, with great love, if that's done, then when we die, and only the Lord knows the day, the hour, the moment that we're going to die, we have to be prepared. When we die, then we hope and we trust that God and His angels and saints and His Holy Mother, they will greet us. They will welcome us into our eternal home, which we call heaven. Our eternal home, which we call heaven. So, my friends, the word that Jesus says, I direct to you. And that word of Jesus Christ that He said to the apostles, He says to us in this very moment. And that word is shalom. That word is shalom, meaning peace be with you. And I'd like to impart to you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shalom, peace be with you.